If you've never played a game that's so much fun it's impossible to put down, then you've never played Best Fiends. Best Fiends is the best match 3 style mobile puzzle game out there. It's basically an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one. Most of the match 3 games on the market are just the same old format with different colors. And maybe cookies instead of candies. But Best Fiends is different. You play through an actual storyline, complete with adorable collectible characters called fiends. As you get further along in the game, you'll watch your fiends grow from wee baby versions of themselves into full-grown characters. The more you play, the more powerful and helpful your fiends become. So if you're tired of crushing the same old candy, give Best Fiends a try. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. Play Best Fiends.
Download free. For 40 years, Michael Myers has haunted this town. He is the essence of evil, and evil dies tonight.
Halloween Kills, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent, in theaters and streaming only on Peacock now.
For 40 years, Michael Myers has haunted this town. He is the essence of evil, and evil dies tonight.
Halloween Kills, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent, in theaters and streaming only on Peacock now.
If you've never played a game that's so much fun it's impossible to put down, then you've never played Best Fiends. Best Fiends is the best match 3 style mobile puzzle game out there. It's basically an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one. Most of the match 3 games on the market are just the same old format with different colors. And maybe cookies instead of candies. But Best Fiends is different. You play through an actual storyline, complete with adorable collectible characters called fiends. As you get further along in the game, you'll watch your fiends grow from wee baby versions of themselves into full-grown characters. The more you play, the more powerful and helpful your fiends become. So if you're tired of crushing the same old candy, give Best Fiends a try. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. If you haven't played Best Fiends, you're seriously missing out. Best Fiends isn't like other Match 3 mobile-style puzzle games. It's an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one. You play through an actual storyline, watching your fiends become more powerful the more levels you beat. So if you're tired of crushing the same old candy, give Best Fiends a try. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on this week's program, I have Sonia Greenfield. Sonia is the Director of Writer Management and Editor covering the NFC North and NFC East for Our Turf Football. She is also a feature writer for E2GSports.com. Sonia and I discuss the Lions game against the Rams, also the Lions offense and defense. We also discuss Jared Goff, head coach Dan Campbell, of the Lions' next game against the Philadelphia Eagles in Week 8, and so much more. So please stay tuned for that interview. It's great. It's outstanding. Sonia was fantastic. So stay tuned for that on this week's program. Plus, we'll preview Week 8's most important games in the National Football League. But as always, we got to begin the show with a recap of the most important games from Week 7 in the National Football League. Let's start off with the Thursday night showdown between the Denver Broncos and the Cleveland Browns. No Baker Mayfield, no problem. Case Keenum filled in, and he did a nice job of doing his part on the passing game. But what about D'Ernest Johnson? 22 carries for 146 yards and a touchdown. D'Ernest was the star of the show in this contest, and give a lot of credit to the Cleveland's defense on Thursday night football in Week 7. The Cleveland Browns beat the Denver Broncos. Final score, 17-14. The Tennessee Titans had their way with the Kansas City Chiefs. Final score, 27-3. Patrick Mahomes would suffer an injury late in the game. However, he did pass the concussion protocol, and he was fine. But nevertheless, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, they did their damage on the offensive side. Defense handled their business as well, stopping Kansas City's high-powered offense. Titans would go on to beat the Chiefs. Final score, 27-3. NFC North matchup between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens, it was all Cincinnati. The Bengals would beat the Ravens 41-17. The Philadelphia Eagles squared off against the Las Vegas Raiders. It was all Raiders in this contest. Las Vegas beats Philly 33-22. The Chicago Bears would square off against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A milestone was achieved in this game as quarterback Tom Brady becomes the first player in NFL history to reach a milestone for throwing 600 career touchdown passes. And aside from that, the Bucs handled their business both offensively and defensively. The Buccaneers would go on to beat the Bears 38-3. We had a matchup between the Houston Texans and the Arizona Cardinals. It was all Cardinals. The Cards remain undefeated as Arizona beats Houston 31-5. Sunday Night Football was a wet and wild one at Santa Clara, California at Levi's Stadium. The weather was treacherous, but the Colts, their play was not treacherous. Their play was great. Carson Wentz did his job, but also Jonathan Taylor shined bright in this game. And also Colts defense handled their business as well. Indianapolis would beat San Francisco 30-18 in Sunday Night Football. And Monday night, we had the New Orleans Saints going up against the Seattle Seahawks. Very nasty game from start to finish, but the two costly penalties on defense by Seattle would help the Saints move further in the field goal range. And the Saints would go on to beat the Seahawks on Monday Night Football. Final score, 13-10. And those were your scores from the most important games from Week 7 in the National Football League. All right, now it's time for my top three storylines. I want to start with the Seattle Seahawks. 3 weeks in a row now that they have had chances to win games. The game on Thursday night against the Rams from Week 5, they had an opportunity to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in overtime on a Sunday Night Football in Week 6. That didn't happen. And then Week 7, they had a chance to beat the New Orleans Saints, another winnable game. They didn't get it done. All of these games, these last three games that the Seahawks have lost have had something in common besides having chances to win these games with these last three games being winnable games. Geno Smith. I'm not going to put all the blame on Geno, but some things we have to hold Geno accountable for something. In the game where Russell Wilson got hurt back in Week 5 against the Rams, Russell hurts his finger, does not return. Again, with the Rams, again, the Seahawks were in striking distance of beating the Rams. Geno, in the last maybe under 2 minutes of the contest, Geno was unable to get the offense down the field. And then when he gets the ball, throwing incomplete passes and the game ends on an interception. Okay, that was Week 5. Let's move along now to Week 6. Sunday Night Football against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The game goes into overtime. Again, the Seahawks have an opportunity to win the game. Geno Smith runs with the ball, can't find anybody. He attempts to scramble and knocking the ball out of his hands, forcing a fumble. Steelers defensive lineman T.J. Watt. Steelers get in field goal range, kick the field goal, game over. Steelers win. And now let's go to Week 7 and Monday night. The Seahawks, again, another opportunity to win this game. Geno Smith unable to get his team down the field. Ever since the first quarter when he threw that touchdown pass to DK Metcalf, the Seahawks passing game just fizzled out, and there was no more after that. Therefore, they still had an opportunity to win this game. Geno throws an incomplete pass, and he gets sacked on a couple of occasions on the last drive. The Saints would go on to beat the Seahawks on Monday night. So I know Coach Pete Carroll is licking his chops and is counting the days until Russell Wilson can come back healthy and he's able to play. He says Russell is a fast healer. Well, I hope that they can speed up the good Lord above can speed up Russell's healing process, because they need Russell back in a major way. They need Russell to get cooking again. And it's not just the quarterback situation. It's not just with Russell being out. It's not just Geno, but also a stagnant offense. They've been trying to force to run the ball. One thing I noticed in the game against the Saints is that in many instances where the Seahawks should have been ultra-aggressive and pass, they were just sticking with the run, sticking with the run, just sticking with the running game. Alex Collins, he had his moments, but he would get stopped consecutively. And also, yeah, DJ Dallas come in. He was nowhere to be found in this game. So I think the play calling has a lot to do with this. And, you know, the defense, they can do all they could do, but there have been moments, especially in the Monday night loss to New Orleans. We saw Al Woods with the encroachment penalty. We also saw another unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, a rough in the passer penalty. The undisciplined play has what hurt the Seahawks during this three-game losing streak. Seattle's got to get it together, and I know they're counting the days until Russell Wilson could come back healthy because time is going to be running out. They've got a game coming up against Jacksonville, and then after the bye week, it's going to be tough. They're going to be at Green Bay. They've got Arizona. They've got Washington. They've got San Francisco. They've got at Green Bay. They're at Arizona. They're at Washington on a Monday night, and then they've got San Francisco on a Sunday night football. So these next four games are going to be very, very critical. And I know they said Russell may be back for the Green Bay game. If not, he could possibly be back for the Arizona game. But no matter what, they've got to get him back. Geno, they're going to rally around Geno. Geno is going to have to do his best, and they're going to have to mix up that play calling. And the defense has got to be more disciplined in this because we know Seattle's defense has suffered a lot, one of the worst in the league. Got to step it up. My next storyline is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. Wow, who would have thought that the Kansas City Chiefs would be sitting at 3-4? I would have never expected this. Again, it's a similar situation to Seattle. Both teams have among the worst defenses in the NFL. However, one team's quarterback is still playing, and that's Patrick Mahomes. Suffered the injury in the game this past Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. He was cleared in the concussion protocol, so it looks like he's going to be able to play on Monday night against the New York Giants. But, man, Clyde Edwards-Helaire still out with a knee injury. The defense can't get anything going. And, man, this is something else right here because we've got to remember the Chiefs, Monday night, it appears to be a winnable game against the Giants. And then after that, you've got Green Bay coming in to Arrowhead, and then you're at Las Vegas, and then you've got Dallas. So these next four, the three out of the four games are going to be very, very tough with the Packers, Raiders, and the Cowboys. There's a strong possibility that Kansas City could miss the playoffs this year. They could miss the playoffs because the remainder of this schedule is going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And they need Patrick to do his thing, but they also need other players to step up as well. And hopefully Clyde Edwards-Helaire can come back where they can balance this thing out because it's not looking good for Kansas City right now. 3-4, I was not expecting this at all. I don't know. I know it's hard to win in professional sports. It's extremely hard to win in the NFL, and you've got to be consistent. And with a football-crazy city like Kansas City that expects a lot, I know they're scratching their heads and like, wow, this was the team that over a year ago won the Super Bowl. This is an outrage right here, but it happens. But Mahomes and company, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle, they can't afford to miss easy passes like that. The Chiefs, similar to the Seahawks, got to get it together. And for my last storyline is going to be the Detroit Lions. Wow. 0-7. On January the 20th of this year, the Detroit Lions hired Dan Campbell as their head coach. And Campbell had the very colorful press conference where he said, to the extent I'm paraphrasing, he said they were going to bite kneecaps and they were going to be hungry and all of these things. And then on top of that, they pulled off the trade with Los Angeles, sending Matthew Stafford to the Rams in exchange for Jared Goff. Well, here we are. And then on top of that, they drafted Penei Sewell, the rookie offensive tackle out of Oregon. So here we are in the 2021 NFL season, still in the first part of the year, and they are 0-7. Looking at the schedule, they lost a tough one to San Francisco, close game, in week one. Week two, they didn't stand a chance against Green Bay. Week three against Baltimore, that was a winnable game. They let Lamar Jackson and company get in field goal range. Justin Tucker, hey, a kick for the ages. Nuff said on that one. Again, week four, winnable game against Chicago. Week 5, a winnable game against the Minnesota Vikings. And then last week in week 6, they get blown out by the Cincinnati Bengals. And then week 7, I won't say it's a winnable game, but they fought as hard as they could against the L.A. Rams. Not good stuff going on out of the Motor City right now, but we know Detroit is a proud city, a proud sports city, and they love their football. It's the blue-collar, working-class mentality of the Midwest, and all Midwesterners, all Detroiters, I should say, ask for is a team that will come out and do their best. They have a Week 8 game coming up against the Philadelphia Eagles. Could this be the game where they win their first game of the year before the bye week? A lot of questions to be answered about that with the Detroit Lions. And that takes care of my top 3 storylines. And we come back from the break. Speaking of the Detroit Lions, I have a diehard Detroit Lions fan on the program. I have an interview with Sonia Greenfield. Sonia is the director of writer management and editor covering the NFC North and NFC East for Our Turf Football. And she's also a feature writer for E2GSports.com. We discussed the Lions game against the Rams. We also talked Jared Goff, Dan Campbell, the Lions' next game against the Eagles, and so much more. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to The League Wraparound.
If you haven't played Best Fiends, you're seriously missing out. Best Fiends isn't like other Match 3 mobile-style puzzle games. It's an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one. You play through an actual storyline, watching your fiends become more powerful the more levels you beat. So if you're tired of crushing the same old candy, give Best Fiends a try. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play.
Play Best Fiends, download free.
This Halloween, NoCap presents a pay-per-view event like nothing you've ever seen. Travis Barker's House of Horror. Featuring performances by Machine Gun Kelly, Avril Lavigne, Black Bear, special guest Mark Hoppus, Ian Dior, Jaden Hostler, and more. October 28th. Get your tickets now. NoCapShows.com.
If you've never played a game that's so much fun it's impossible to put down, then you've never played Best Fiends. Best Fiends is the best Match 3 style mobile puzzle game out there. It's basically an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one. Most of the Match 3 games on the market are just the same old format with different colors. And maybe cookies instead of candies. But Best Fiends is different. You play through an actual storyline, complete with adorable collectible characters called Fiends. As you get further along in the game, you'll watch your fiends grow from wee baby versions of themselves into full-grown characters. The more you play, the more powerful and helpful your fiends become. So if you're tired of crushing the same old candy, give Best Fiends a try. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play.
Play Best Fiends, download free.
This Halloween, NoCap presents a pay-per-view event like nothing you've ever seen. Travis Barker's House of Horrors. Featuring performances by Machine Gun Kelly, Avril Lavigne, Black Bear, special guest Mark Hoppus, Ian Dior, Jaden Hostler, and more. October 28th. Get your tickets now. NoCapShows.com. A pay-per-view event like nothing you've ever seen. Travis Barker's House of Horrors. Featuring performances by Machine Gun Kelly, Avril Lavigne, Black Bear, special guest Mark Hoppus, Ian Dior, Jaden Hostler, and more. October 28th. Get your tickets now. NoCapShows.com.
If you've never played a game that's so much fun it's impossible to put down, then you've never played Best Fiends. Best Fiends is the best Match 3 style mobile puzzle game out there. It's basically an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one. Most of the match 3 games on the market are just the same old format with different colors. And maybe cookies instead of candies. But Best Fiends is different. You play through an actual storyline, complete with adorable, collectible characters called Fiends. As you get further along in the game, you'll watch your Fiends grow from wee baby versions of themselves into full-grown characters. The more you play, the more powerful and helpful your Fiends become. So if you're tired of crushing the same old candy, give Best Fiends a try. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. If you haven't played Best Fiends, you're seriously missing out. Best Fiends isn't like other Match 3-style mobile puzzle games. It's an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one. You play through an actual storyline, watching your fiends become more powerful the more levels you beat. So if you're tired of crushing the same old candy, give Best Fiends a try. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. If you've never played a game that's so much fun, it's impossible to put down, then you've never played Best Fiends. Best Fiends is the best Match 3-style mobile puzzle game out there. It's basically an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one. Most of the Match 3 games on the market are just the same old format with different colors, and maybe cookies instead of candies. But Best Fiends is different. You play through an actual storyline, complete with adorable, collectible characters called Fiends. As you get further along in the game, you'll watch your Fiends grow from wee baby versions of themselves into full-grown characters. The more you play, the more powerful and helpful your Fiends become. So if you're tired of crushing the same old candy, give Best Fiends a try. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play.
Jumpstart the season with big holiday savings from JCPenney, now through Sunday. Let the fun begin with Disney toys, now up to 25% off. Or give your family the warm fuzzies with 40% off outerwear. Don't forget to use your coupon to save an extra 25% on select items at checkout. The holidays are officially here at JCPenney. Offers valid on select items through 10/31. Toys excluded from coupon. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings is putting new customers in the center of the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stand under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up. Download the DraftKings app and use code TUNEIN. That's code TUNEIN to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with your first deposit only at DraftKings.
Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings is putting new customers in the center of the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stand under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up. Download the DraftKings app and use code TUNEIN. That's code TUNEIN to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with your first deposit only at DraftKings.
Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
If you've never played a game that's so much fun, it's impossible to put down, then you've never played Best Fiends. Best Fiends is the best Match 3-style mobile puzzle game out there. It's basically an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one. Most of the Match 3 games on the market are just the same old format with different colors, and maybe cookies instead of candies. But Best Fiends is different. You play through an actual storyline, complete with adorable, collectible characters called Fiends. As you get further along in the game, you'll watch your Fiends grow from wee baby versions of themselves into full-grown characters. The more you play, the more powerful and helpful your fiends become. So if you're tired of crushing the same old candy, give Best Fiends a try. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play.
This Halloween, No Cap presents a pay-per-view event like nothing you've ever seen. Travis Barker's House of Horrors. Featuring performances by Machine Gun Kelly, Avril Lavigne, Black Bear, special guest Mark Hoppus, Ian Dior, Jaden Hostler, and more. October 28th. Get your tickets now. NoCapShows.com.
Good job of that. Mission accomplished on that play. Brings up a third down and nine. Lots of pressure at the bottom of the screen here. Here it comes. They're bringing the heat. They set it up for Swift, and Swift with the blocker in front. Looking for the sticks. He's got more than a first down. And DeAndre Swift down the middle of the field. Blockers in front. He's going to take it all the way for the touchdown. Jonah Jackson leading the way and marching him in for six from 63.
You're going to hear this announcement.
I love our guys, and I think that's, like, the number one thing is our coaches and our guys in that locker room. I don't care what you guys say about the roster. We got dudes who fight, and that's all I can really ask for. And I love these guys, and we're going to keep fighting until the end, and you guys have seen it week after week. We fight, we battle, we play to the best of our ability, and unfortunately it hasn't been enough. We need to do things to fix it, but there's always pressure, and – you know, that margin for error that he talks about is just, that's where we're at, and that's what we're tasked with. But I wouldn't do it with anyone else other than in that locker room.
We just made one too many mistakes.
Dan, the decision just to be aggressive all day long and contact kids, two fake punts, to still not be enough, how tough is that?
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, you know. But we wanted to, you know, we knew that we felt like we could gain an advantage there and see if we could get some possessions back. And, you know, and they helped, but it wasn't enough, you know. It wasn't enough. It's too good of a football team to make. You're not allowed to make one or two errors against a football team like that. So, you know, that's what's tough is you get in those type of games against them. You know, comes down to, you know, us trying to make a play in the pass game there towards the end to get in the end zone. And, you know, Aaron Donald, man, you know, we did a pretty good job for most of the day. And then, you know, he gets us on one, and there you go.
Is that what that was on that play, Donald, and that couldn't get in?
No, well, from what I could see, he's under duress. Like, you can't, I mean, good luck. So, now, I watched the tape. I could be wrong, but I felt like he was under duress, not able to throw that football like we needed him to. You know, Ramsey made a hell of a play, too. But, you know, it's just you can go a whole game, and all of a sudden, man, something like that happens, and it's too much. It's too good of a football team.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League, Fox Sports, and the Detroit Lions. And, man, mixed emotions with a little bit of a good highlight was Lions quarterback Jared Goff throwing a 63-yard touchdown pass to running back DeAndre Swift. Unfortunately, the Lions lose another one, losing to the Los Angeles Rams in Week 7. And then Jared Goff says in a press conference after the game, he still loves his guys. He says they're tough and they can still make things happen. And Lions head coach, you heard it in his voice, Dan Campbell, he gave his thoughts and said that the Rams were just too good. And Aaron Donald, and they just had some great playmakers on that team. So to talk more about this game as well as the Lions' next game, we want to welcome her back to the program. She is the director of writer management and the editor and also a reporter covering the NFC North and the NFC East for Our Turf Football, which is a cool website dedicated to women covering the National Football League. And she's also a feature writer at E2GSports.com. Let's welcome her back to the program, Sonya Greenfield. Sonya, welcome back.
Thank you, Ed. Always glad to be back. Glad to talk with you and always glad to talk Lions.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So, Sonia, the Detroit Lions remain the only winless team in the National Football League. Give me your takeaways from what you got with the Lions game against the Rams.
The Lions games with the Rams was actually – okay, so we knew that they weren't going to win, right? You knew that most likely they weren't going to win. I mean, they could have shocked the world, and I think they did. I think they came out. They came out. They had plenty of energy. I mean, they opened up the playbook and threw, you know, trick play after sneak play after surprise play. And, you know, and that's kind of what you got to do when you're an underdog, you know, just, you know, bet the house, right? Because you're probably not going to win, but let's just see if we can catch them off guard. And so that was good to see, especially after the week before when, you know, they just looked so lifeless against the Bengals, and you're like, man, they're going to get crushed by the Rams. But so it was nice to see that little spark of energy and, you know, just the trick plays and just, you know, that was so nice to see. But unfortunately, we came down to earth and, you know, the Rams were, quoting Denny Green, or, you know, paraphrasing Denny Green, the Rams were who we thought we were, thought they were. And, you know, they came out and they just had a better game. So, yeah, so it was nice to see, and you like to see that spark and that energy, but, you know, it's a long road. It's been a long road so far.
Yeah, it has been a long road for the Lions. And speaking of a long road, the last time you were on the program, we talked about the trade with Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford. We're going to talk more about Jared in a little bit later, but I want to stay focused on the Lions' loss to Week 7, in the Week 7 game against the L.A. Rams. I want to start with the offense for a moment for Detroit. Running game, they've been trying to find their way. Detroit's been trying to find their way with the running game this year. They've done this combination with Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift. Of course, Jamal Williams played for the NFC North rival Green Bay Packers. And then DeAndre Swift, who's been with the Lions for maybe several years now. This seems like it's a running tandem where Jamal Williams is like the power back and DeAndre Swift is more of like the combo, the running and receiving type back. Give me your thoughts on Jamal and DeAndre and their performance in this game against the Rams.
Well, I think they overall performed well. I think they performed to their abilities. But again, it was just kind of too much. But I did love, you know, the 63-yard run that you led off with. That was amazing. And I like how they're, you know, what's the word? Synergizing each other in a way, kind of, I think. And honestly, I think this is probably the best that the run game has looked in a while. Granted, we haven't had, you know, the type of success that we want to have because we haven't had, you know, our 100-yard rusher yet in a long time. And, you know, that's been few and far between. But I think that, you know, just pounding the ball, getting the rock, you know, DeAndre being able to be creative and get out there and do some stuff, I think has been helpful to the offense. And I think that that's kind of what we're seeing. I mean, this offense is kind of gelling and we got new pieces and the line is coming together. So, you know, relying on the run game when you really don't have a lot of receivers to, you know, do the job, I think kind of helps and it just gets them out there more. And, you know, they look pretty good, I think, you know, at least last week they did. And so that gives you a little bit of, okay, maybe we aren't as dead in the water as we thought, and if we're able to, you know, really rely on these guys to help our offense, I think that, you know, at least we're looking up in that direction. So at least having a little bit of momentum, if you will, I think.
Okay, fair enough. And let's move along now to the receiving side. The leading receiver for the Lions in this game against the Rams was Khalif Raymond. He had 6 catches for 115 yards. Just give me your thoughts on Khalif and his performance in this game.
You know, I think it was okay. I think he was able to get separation, and he's starting to get more on the same page with Jared. And, you know, I think they're working together well. The receiving core is kind of up for grabs, and so it's kind of nice to see him just kind of start getting out there and starting to take the reins and, you know, really making something happen on the receiving end of our offense. Because that, honestly, you know, where usually it had been, you know, we've had Calvin Johnson, we've had Marvin Jones, we've had Kenny Galloway. And so, you know, really just having that as a luxury. And now, you know, just going to him, it's been a little bit rough, but I think that he's starting to come around, and he and Jared are starting to develop that relationship. So I think that he's starting to show a little bit more, you know, that he's beginning to work a little bit.
I want to stay with the receiving side for a moment. We mentioned Khalif, yeah. But also T.J. Hockenson. He had 6 catches for 48 yards in this game. That's a little unusual because T.J. has really been a focal point in the offense for the Lions the last 2 seasons. Just give me your thoughts on T.J., and do you think they could have used him a little bit more to give the Lions a greater chance to win this game?
I think so, and I think that, you know, with Dan Campbell being a tight end guy, you kind of would like to think that he would use T.J. a little bit more in this offense, and I think that he could be used obviously a little bit more to kind of help out that receiving core. And so, you know, maybe they were game planning that they were going to use him more as a receiver in this offense, you know, from the Rams end, that they were game planning more for Hock. But I think going to him consistently, I think, is always going to be the right choice. And, you know, it was a little bit disappointing to see that they weren't using him as much in this game. But again, you know, they were keeping them on their toes with some of these trick plays early. So I think that that's kind of why, you know, you didn't see a lot of him this game. But, you know, I do like him being in the offense. I do like a good receiving tight end. So I think that, you know, bringing him more into the offense is going to only help. And, you know, while we're trying to develop the offense a little bit more, I think bringing him in, just because he's been such a staple the past couple of years, I think is always going to be the right choice.
All right. I want to move along now to the defensive side for a moment. And one of the leading tacklers on the Detroit defense was Alex Anzalone. He had 5 tackles in this game. And Anzalone had some pretty good seasons during this time with the New Orleans Saints. And now he's in Detroit as one of the linebackers. Just give me your thoughts on Alex's performance in his game against the Rams.
And the Rams, I think he, you know, he started off good. I think he, you know, is trying, and one of the more looked at linebackers in this defense. And so I think that in this game he played well, he played decent, and stepped it up a little bit. But I think in the end, you know, the Rams just became a little bit too much for him. Their offensive line is pretty good, although, you know, he wouldn't really necessarily be that. But I think that, you know, his tackling was decent enough. But in the end, like I said, just he couldn't contain their offense because the Rams are just so explosive, and it's just hard to kind of keep them in check. But he did what he could.
All right, and I want to bring up the other 2 leading tacklers in this game. There was a Jalen Reeves-Maben and also Jerry Jacobs. They both had 5 tackles as well. Just kind of give me your thoughts on how well Jalen and Jerry's performance in this game.
Jeremy. Yeah, I like to call him Jeremy Jr. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But no, sorry about that. I'm a goof, I know. But, no, overall, I think he's been one of the more consistent ones in our defense. And so, again, he had a pretty decent game against the Rams. But, again, the Rams are the Rams, and you can only do what you can. And so I think that he still is one of our stronger defensive players. And so I liked what I saw. But again, you know, the Rams are going to be the Rams. I hate to keep deferring to that, but it's just kind of how I felt about this game. And, you know, I loved the effort, at least in the beginning and the first half, you know. But like I said, the Rams are just the Rams, so you know that that's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of the Rams being of the Rams, we know the Rams particularly they're an aggressive team both on the offensive and the defensive side. And Coach Dan Campbell in his press conference mentioned Aaron Donald. And you got to have an offensive line to go up against this very good Rams defense. I want to bring up Penei Sewell for a moment. I know he had a little incident that had taken place during that game against the Rams. Just give me your thoughts on Penei and how well he's played, not only in this game against the Rams, but how would you rate him overall this year?
You know, overall, I think that he's actually going to fit in pretty well. We've had to move him around a little bit, so I think that that's probably been a slight disadvantage. But, you know, just looking at when, you know, he's been in the game and just some of the things that he's able to do as a rookie, it's a lot that's being asked of him. I get it. But he's made some pretty decent plays. He's, really stood up to some of the bigger defensive linemen in some of these games, especially in a couple of the earlier games. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but in a couple of the earlier games this year, I've seen some pretty good work out of him. And I'm going to be honest, I was a little bit surprised when we drafted him because I was like, you know, our line is pretty good and, you know, I think that there are other needs. And while I get building in the trenches, I was kind of surprised. So, you know, and everybody's like, oh, no, but he's going to be good. He's future Hall of Fame. And I'm like, you know what we do to future Hall of Famers. So, but actually watching him develop and, you know, be a pretty decent part of the offensive line, I think, right now. It's been kind of fun to watch. And I think that he is going to continue to develop. I hope that he continues to develop. I think if our offensive line comes together, it's going to be probably one of the better ones in football as they get older and as they, you know, work together more. So probably not this year, but hopefully in the next couple of years. And I think that he's going to be a big part of it. I think him, Frank Ragnow, I think those two are going to be a really big part of that offensive line coming up.
I want to ask you, let's stay with the offensive line for a moment. You mentioned Frank Ragnow, who is like the high – I mean, if you could correct me if I'm wrong, he's like the highest paid center in the league. Do you think the Lions would be winless if Frank Ragnow was healthy and you had Frank and Penei on the offensive line? Do you think things would be a little bit different?
I don't think they would. I think that while he is an integral part of that offensive line, I think there's also just a lot more issues that they need to overcome. And, you know, I think back to the Ravens game when, they had them fourth and forever and the Ravens converted that fourth down. You know, the offensive line was nowhere near that play. So, I mean, I think that defensively, they probably could have done a little bit better in that game. But, you know, I think of stuff like that when it comes to some being winless. And so I think of just the little things mostly but I think just some of the little things. Could the offensive line be a part of that? Probably. But I think more so it's bigger than just those two guys on the offensive line.
All right, and, speaking of being bigger, the quarterback position is about as big as it gets in the National Football League. It's the most important position in the league. And the last time you were on the show, Sonia, we talked about the Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff trade. Well, the Jared Goff era is official in Detroit, and they're winless. And, he's had his moments, but it hasn't translated into wins yet. This is a two-part question. First question is this. Give me your thoughts on his performance in the game against the Rams, and just give me your take on how he's performed so far this year.
All right. So against the Rams, I'm going to give him a C+. I'm sorry to do another analogy, but this is kind of how I feel. For instance, so I'm going to put it in a girl's frame of mind, right? So when you see your ex, right, you want to make sure that you're looking good, and you are. But at the same time, you're going to put on the good stuff. Yeah, that's what you do. You look good, right? And then, you know, by the end of the night, it's something totally different. But, you know, and that's kind of how I think it started. they, you know, he looked great. He's like, yeah, I want to show what I got and, you know, what they left me or, you know, what traded me for. And so I feel that that was kind of his energy there. Could I be wrong? Probably. But I think that that was kind of the energy. Overall, though, he's been a little lackluster. And I think that I don't know if it's just the fact that he's kind of in an offense that they're just kind of trying to figure out and just develop it a little bit more. And, you know, we knew that he wasn't going to be the guy, but we also didn't think that we were going to be this disjointed. You know what I'm saying? Again, I go back to the Bengals game when, you know, it's fourth down and he throws the ball away. It's like, what are you thinking? You know, like that type of stuff. Now, sometimes, and, you know, it just, the Lions are just snake bit. And sometimes things like that just happen, right? But I think there's some kind of disconnect, and I don't think he's that same quarterback that was in LA. And like I said, I knew he wasn't the guy to get us over the top and, you know, take us to the next level. But I do expect a little bit better performance. I expected a little bit better of a performance. I didn't think they would be winless this far into the season. I thought that they would at least, you know, have at least a couple because, you know, Jared Goff is talented. You have to be talented to be a quarterback in the National Football League, correct?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean, as I said earlier, it's the most important position in the league.
Right.
I mean, it's the most important position. It's the most scrutinized position in the league. So, as they said, with the victors comes the spoils. So. And with the bad play comes criticism. So, there you go.
Right, but, he's the head that wears the crown, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I want to stay with Jared for a moment. And I know Jared is a California guy. He went to school in California, graduated from college in California, played for a California team. When the Rams went back to L.A. from St. Louis. He was in California his whole life, and then all of a sudden you get traded and they have to adjust to life in the Midwest. Do you think from a cultural standpoint that that's having a little bit of an impact on him going from being a California guy to coming into the Midwest and having to adjust to blue-collar Detroit?
That could be it. Not the only thing that's it, but that's part of it, right? You know, you got to take that into consideration. He's coming from a nice, warm environment. He's coming to, you know, a cooler, temperate environment. And the fans here are a little bit more hard-nosed, a little bit more blue-collar than, you know, the Rams fans. And not that Rams fans aren't good, but Detroit fans are just a different breed. We, you know, if we see, though, that he is working hard, and that he is really trying, we're going to love you and embrace you. But the second that it seems like we're not getting that energy from you, that's when we're going to, you know, kind of put you aside. And so I think that right now he's still giving us that energy that, you know, yeah, he wants to be here and we want to see that. But the second that starts to kind of fall off, that's when the Lions fans will get a little bit, you know, a little bit antsy. And it can be a culture shock. And I think that, you know, sometimes it's not fun. It's dark. It's dreary. And it's been dreary for the past week, you know, not a lot of sun, lots of rain. And that can kind of weigh on you as well. So, you know, we're learning about seasonal affective and stuff like that. So hopefully that's not it. But being in the Midwest is a lot different than being, you know, in California, except for the fact that our earth tends to stay still. We don't have a lot of earthquakes.
right. Exactly. That much is true right there. So while we have Jared Goff, adjusting to things as the quarterback of the Detroit Lions. I want to talk about a gentleman that had a very unique press conference when they introduced him as the head coach, and that's Dan Campbell. He mentioned about doing some very interesting things like biting ankles and whatnot, and his team is winless
biting
right now. How do you biting kneecaps? There you go. And a very unique press conference that he had given. And I want to ask you, Sonia, Dan Campbell is winless so far as an NFL head coach. Just give me your thoughts on how he's done and what do you think he needs to do to improve going forward.
So, you know, everybody, and maybe I'm just a little bit more jaded than people are, but, you know, people really love that energy and they love, you know, that toughness in the press conference. And they're like, yeah, I'd run through walls for him. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. I love it. But let's see what happens during the season. You know, that's always been my feel is let's see what happens during the season. Because, you know, you can talk all this and say all these wonderful things. You're going to bite kneecaps or raising them tough. I'm not wiping anybody's butt. You know, I'm embracing Detroit. I'm wearing the race helmet, you know, to my press conference in honor of the Detroit Grand Prix, which is all stuff that we love. We love to see coaches, you know, embracing being in Detroit, players embracing being in Detroit. But you're a football coach. I want to see what happens on the field. And right now, it's not getting done. And so it's always going to be tough for a first-time head coach. It always is. But sometimes when you're here in Detroit, there's another level. Like I said, I don't know if we're snake bit or what, but there's just something else about being in Detroit. Do I think he's a good coach? I think right now, yes, I think he is kind of a good coach. I think that, you know, he's trying to figure out what needs to get done and how can this team win. And I feel that he's still working, and I think that, you know, he's trying, and the locker room is not giving up on him, and I think, you know, clear evidence was the Rams game. You know, they went out and they did a great job. They did a very good job, you know, in the first half for him, and I think that that shows that, you know, there's something there. You know, that the team is buying in, the team wants to win. And, you know, he's got a great band of coaches, too. So I think that the talent is there, the coaching is there. It's just the execution. And who is that on? That part kind of falls to the players. But calling game plans and stuff like that, I think he's okay. I think we're okay right now. But I just hopefully he will win, and hopefully he'll win soon. Yeah. It's just going to take some time.
Yeah, it's always growing pains, not just for new players, but new head coaches in the NFL, and it's definitely not a walk in the park. You just got to be built different to be a head coach in the NFL, dealing with players and the distractions. And like you mentioned, playing in the city of Detroit, a city that's very passionate about a lot of things, and their sports franchises are no exception to the rule. And for a franchise like
exactly.
The Lions, you have to be built for tough, no pun intended, automotive industry. Yeah. Shout out to the automotive industry right there. So now, speaking of being built for tough, the Detroit Lions, their next game in Week 8 is going to be a team that they're going to be going up against a team that they play for, a city that's known for their toughness, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Eagles have gone through their growing pains this year, questions about their head coach, Nick Sirianni, questions about their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, and the defense, mm-hmm. all sorts of injuries with them. So, Sonia, I've got to ask you, what must Detroit's offense do to get points against the beat-up Eagle defense?
Throw the ball. Throw the ball. I think their secondary is kind of hurting a little bit. So I think if, you know, the Lions can get out there and start throwing the ball around and, you know, keep that same energy with some trick plays and, you know, things like that, I think that's probably going to be the best way to get some points against this Philadelphia team, which is pretty beat up, like you said. But also they still have some talent. You know, I think that Jalen Hurts is pretty – He's growing. This is his first complete year starting, I think. I got that right. But, yeah, it's going to just take some time. But I think that the Lions have the experience. But, again, just throw the ball, throw it to that weak secondary, and, you know, get those receivers out there. I think that will give us a decent chance to win.
All right, let's move along now to the other side of the ball in Philly's offense. You mentioned him, Jalen Hurts, and again, running back Miles Sanders suffered an injury. It's highly unlikely he's going to play in this game. And what must Detroit's defense do to neutralize Philly's offense?
I think if they're able to kind of get after Jalen, I think if they're able to get after Jalen Hurts and kind of disrupt his flow, I think that's going to probably be a pretty big key to this game, because I think we've seen that once you kind of start getting him shaken, that, you know, it's kind of hard to get him back, if you will. So I think that if they go after Jalen, I think that's probably going to be the biggest to the Lions' defense. And offense, if you will, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Jalen
can't
score any points, then and the Lions are, then there you go.
All right. Well, you know, the Lions, this is going to be a home game for the Lions as they square off against the Eagles in Week 8. And Detroit is not just known for its sports, but it's also known for its music, and Motown being the sound of young America. And an artist on Motown was an artist by the name of Junior Walker and the All-Stars. And he had a song out back in the day called "What Is It Gonna Take to Win Your Love?" So I want to know, Sonya, what else is it gonna take for the Lions to get their first victory against the Eagles on Sunday?
It's going to take the crowd. It's going to take the crowd and the fans to get in there and get fired up, make it a nice, loud environment. I know that, you know, the Philly fans are great, and they, you know, they're some tough fans, and they are kind of like us, really hard-nosed fans, and, you know, they expect their players to go to work. But we're in a dome. And we can, you know, really make it loud. We can, once the team is fired up and once the crowd is fired up, it's we make a wonderful 12th man. No disrespect to the Seattle Seahawks and their fans, but we can make it loud and we can make, you know, some disruptions for that Philadelphia offense. And, you know, lots of false starts. We love those.
Indeed.
Lots
so
of
I have to, uh-huh. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I think that's probably it. You know, just bringing the energy. If the defense – and the defense honestly hasn't been awful this year. But I know I kind of talked a little bit about that against the Ravens. But they haven't been, like, terribly awful, but serviceable. And I think that if you get them kind of going downhill and get them fired up early, and, you know, I think that that can kind of help – get after the Eagles as well and get after Jalen.
So, Sonya, if the Lions win their first game against the Eagles on Sunday, will everybody get free conies?
That's a good question. I don't know. I hope they do get free conies, at least the ones that were there. And they can take their ticket stubs to either American or Lafayette and then get their conies. Yeah, that would be great.
All right, solid. And you heard it from her. She is Sonya Greenfield. She's the director of writer management, and she's also the editor and a reporter covering the NFC North and the NFC East at Our Turf Football. So, again, thank you for being on the program. So tell everybody what you do. Describe a little bit more what you do at Our Turf Football.
Oh, cool, yeah. So it's four of us at Our Turf, and we have occasional guest writers, but we really just cover the league. We have a podcast, a weekly podcast. You can sign up for that on YouTube, and if you search Our Turf Football, and you can subscribe and get weekly updates for our podcast that we do. It's a video one, so you get to see all our pretty faces. But we talk, you know, we talk sports. We talk fantasy football. We talk, you know, we talk, obviously, you know, football. We talk all the divisions. We usually talk a lot about the Dolphins. We talk about we talk football. We just love it. So we talk about anything. You know, who's the biggest surprise, all that good stuff. And then also the cool thing about the podcast is that you can interact with us, and so we can read your comments on screen. So that's always fun. But yeah, so we cover the divisions, and you know, we have rivalries, and we just have a good time.
Awesome. It sounds great. And then also you write from time to time on a website called e2gsports.com. Just tell everybody a little bit about that.
Yeah, so e2gsports, covers all sports, really, and every now and then I get tapped on the shoulder by my friend T. Murph on Twitter, Thomas Murphy, and, you know, he's like, hey, can you give me a couple sentences about this? So, yeah, you know, I'll put on, you know, put out a couple words about anything, really. The last time I wrote was about Simone Biles. So I like to talk any sports. So, yeah, so that's kind of what I do for ETG.
Awesome, awesome. And again, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as Our Turf Football, E2G Sports, and also any other websites that you want to pump, let them know that as well.
Sure. So you can find me on Twitter at mom2RN. You can find Our Turf at OURTURFFB on Twitter. And then, like I said, our YouTube page is Our Turf Football, and just look that up, and you can subscribe to that. E2G Sports, and that is on their Twitter at E2G Sports. Let's see, what else? You can find me on Instagram, so you can see pics of my family if you'd like, and that's Sonja920, S-O-N-J-A-920. Yeah, so also I forgot to mention Our Turf is partnering with the college Gridiron All-Stars, and so we're trying to get, you know, players from smaller schools, you know, D2 and down. Also, we cover D1 too, but, you know, getting them seen on a national level and hopefully helping them get to the league as well. So we do talk a little bit of college sports as well, college football at least. So, yeah, so those are some of the things and places that you can find us.
Awesome. And you heard it from her. She is Sonja Greenfield. She is the director of writer management and also an editor and a reporter covering the NFC North and NFC East at Our Turf Football, and also a feature writer at E2GSports.com. Check out her on the various social media platforms as well as Our Turf Football. Sonja, again, thank you so much for being on the program. If ever
you
want to come back on.
Thank you so much, Ed.
You're welcome. You're welcome. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a lot of fun. Can't wait to talk again.
Oh, same here. We'll be back with more right after this.
Mission accomplished. The left one brings up a third down and nine. Lots of pressure at the bottom of the screen here. Here it comes. They're bringing the heat. They set it up for Swift, and Swift with a blocker in front. Looking for the stick. He's got more than a first down. And DeAndre Swift down the middle of the field. Blockers in front. He's going to take it all the way for the touchdown.
Here's to getting back together, to planned lunches and unplanned cookouts, to grandma's recipes and smells that take us back, to passing down plates and traditions. Here's to warm embraces and familiar faces, to your best friends becoming best friends, to scheming, dreaming, and food still steaming. Here's to laughter and love, to growing closer than ever, for all of life's get-togethers. Chinette, here's to us.
¿Estuvo en un accidente y no sabe qué hacer? Es muy importante que tome fotos del daño de tu carro, el daño del otro vehículo de la otra persona, la licencia y placas del otro conductor. No hable con nadie de la compañía de seguros del otro conductor. Hable con un abogado con experiencia. Llame a Gordon McKernan, abogado de accidentes, al 225-888-8888 para una consulta gratuita acerca de su accidente. 225-888-8888. Somos tu voz.
This Halloween, No Cap presents a pay-per-view event like nothing you've ever seen. Travis Barker's House of Horrors. Featuring performances by Machine Gun Kelly, Avril Lavigne, Black Bear, special guest Mark Hoppus, Ian Dior, Jaden Hostler, and more. October 28th. Get your tickets now. NoCapShows.com.
If you haven't played Best Fiends, you're seriously missing out. Best Fiends isn't like other Match 3-style mobile puzzle games. It's an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one. You play through an actual storyline, watching your fiends become more powerful the more levels you beat. So if you're tired of crushing the same old candy, give Best Fiends a try. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play.
Play Best Fiends. Download free.
If you haven't played Best Fiends, you're seriously missing out. Best Fiends isn't like other Match 3 mobile-style puzzle games. It's an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one. You play through an actual storyline, watching your fiends become more powerful the more levels you beat. So if you're tired of crushing the same old candy, give Best Fiends a try. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play.
If you've never played a game that's so much fun, it's impossible to put down, then you've never played Best Fiends. Best Fiends is the best Match 3 style mobile puzzle game out there. It's basically an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one. Most of the Match 3 games on the market are just the same old format with different colors, and maybe cookies instead of candies. But Best Fiends is different. You play through an actual storyline, complete with adorable, collectible characters called fiends. As you get further along in the game, you'll watch your fiends grow from wee baby versions of themselves into full-grown characters. The more you play, the more powerful and helpful your fiends become. So if you're tired of crushing the same old candy, give Best Fiends a try. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play.
For 40 years, Michael Myers has haunted this town. He is the essence of evil, and evil dies tonight.
Halloween Kills, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent. In theaters and streaming only on Peacock now.
Hey, Sarah.
Oh, my gosh, you look so cute. How do you know him?
Oh, my God, I've been doing like I taught you.
Love the new tattoo, Sarah.
Let's go!
Dude, that's Sarah. The girl in the pink shirt, that's the girl I was telling you about.
Oh, that's Sarah?
Theater 2 on your left. Hey, Sarah. What color underwear today?
Hey, Sarah. So when are you going to post something new?
Anything you post online, anyone can see. Family, friends.
See you later, Sarah.
Even not so friendly people. Think before you post.
Everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Sonia Greenfield, the Director of Writer Management and Editor covering the NFC North and NFC East for Our Turf Football. And she's also a feature writer for E2GSports.com, giving us a great insight on the Detroit Lions and also what's going on with the organization, such as their quarterback Jared Goff, the head coach Dan Campbell, among other things in the city of Detroit. Thank you to Sonia once again. All right, now let's get to Week 8's most important games. Let's start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Green Bay Packers and the Arizona Cardinals. First off, Green Bay is currently riding a high right now. They won a Week 7 matchup against the Washington football team. So Aaron Rodgers, the reigning MVP, currently at the peak of his powers right now. However, coming into this game against the Cardinals, he's going to be without Davante Adams and Alan Lazard. Of course, Davante tested positive for COVID-19. He will not be available for the Thursday night matchup. And, of course, Alan Lazard will also be unavailable due to COVID-19 protocol. He was in close contact with Davante, so he will not be playing as well. And also not being on the sidelines is defensive coordinator Joe Barry for the Packers due to COVID-19 protocol as well. But they've got Aaron Rodgers, and that's more than enough. And they've got Aaron Rodgers. They've got the running game of Aaron Jones. I expect a big one from Randall Cobb in this contest. Now, we have MVS Marquez Valdez-Scantlin is expected to be back in this game. However, he's been battling an ankle injury. We don't know how effective he's going to be in this game against the Cardinals, but Randall Cobb is a very familiar face to Aaron Rodgers. So I think Green Bay will be just fine offensively. They don't have Davante Adams. That's okay. No harm, no foul. Green Bay will do just fine on the offensive side against that Cardinal defense. Meanwhile, for Arizona, the only undefeated team left in the National Football League. Kyler Murray is an MVP candidate. Solid running game with James Conner and Chase Edmonds. Wide receivers galore, DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green. You got Christian Kirk, who's really good. The new addition to that team is tight end Zach Ertz. However, the Cardinals were dealt a heavy blow. J.J. Watt is expected to have a shoulder surgery. He's likely going to miss the remainder of the season. J.J. suffered the injury in the game against the Houston Texans last week. He was able to finish the game, but unfortunately, he's going to miss this game and most likely will miss the rest of the season as a result of this shoulder injury. So it's a big loss for Arizona. I think they'll be fine without him. I mean, he was effective and he was solid during this first half of the NFL season. But, you know, they already got the help that they needed on the defensive side for Arizona. But this is going to be a great game. And, again, the NFL is a quarterback's league, and it's all about the quarterbacks. It's all about Aaron Rodgers. It's all about Kyler Murray. You know, Green Bay and Arizona, these two teams have been really having a fierce rivalry for over a decade. This is never a dull moment between these two teams. So Packers and Cardinals on Thursday Night Football. Next most important game for Week 8 is going to be the Tennessee Titans against the Indianapolis Colts. Tennessee just beat the brakes off of the Kansas City Chiefs. Tennessee handled their business. Ryan Tannehill played well. The defense played well. Derrick Henry, again, another MVP candidate. The offense begins and ends with Derrick Henry. So you've got the Titans riding a high right now, going up against a team that's riding their own high as well with a two-game winning streak, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. Carson Wentz has been effective as of late. Big win on Sunday night beating the 49ers. Jonathan Taylor, man, he only in his second year in the league, Jonathan Taylor has improved leaps and bounds from his, I mean, he had a solid rookie year, and he's looking to improve on that in year two of his career. Indianapolis's defense is solid as well, of course, with Darius Leonard, who was the league's leading tackler last year, along with Bobby Okereke, and you've also got Xavier Rhodes, I mean, and then DeForest Buckner, who's just causing havoc for opposing offensive lines. So Titans and Colts in Indy is going to be a great game, an AFC South showdown. Titans and Colts is going to be a great game. And also, let's not discredit the quarterback play in this as well. Ryan Tannehill going up against Carson Wentz. Again, both quarterbacks, they've picked up their play the last several weeks. This is going to be a good game with the Titans and Colts. It's an AFC South showdown. Next up, we have an AFC North showdown between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. First off, for the Steelers had a big win in the Sunday night game over the Seahawks, so they had a bye week in week 7, so they're still riding a high off of the bye week, and they're looking to pick up that momentum as they square off against the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland, big win on last Thursday night, beating the Denver Broncos. Case Keenum filled in nicely for Baker Mayfield. Baker is expected to play in this game, and again, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt most likely won't be in action, but both teams, this is always it's been a fierce rivalry for decades between the Steelers and the Browns. Hopefully the off week coming off of that win of that Sunday night game against Seattle will help Pittsburgh get into the right direction and get into some consistency with the likes of Ben Roethlisberger and that offensive attack. And how about the defense for Pittsburgh? T.J. Watt, man. T.J. Watt is one of those once-in-a-lifetime talents, man. Definitely a candidate for League Defensive Player of the Year. So Steelers and Browns, going to be a very action-packed game, an AFC North showdown in Cleveland. Next game that I have is the Philadelphia Eagles against the Detroit Lions. Detroit, the only winless team in the National Football League, looking to get their first victory of the year as they're home in the Motor City of Detroit in Ford Field to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Just like Detroit has had their struggles this year, Philly has had their struggles this year, dealing with, you know, with the quarterback change, Jalen Hurts only in his second year in the league, but they're not really getting it done. They're only 2-5 this year. First-year head coach Nick Sirianni. We know how Philadelphia fans can be, you know, when you start losing 3 in a row, 4 in a row, and the losses continue to add up, frustration mounts, and it builds, and you just don't know what to do. So the Eagles have had their issues with injuries on the offensive line, defense. I mean, it's, they've just been beat up, especially in the secondary. So the Lions are going to have a home game. We could see a lot of a whole lot of Jared Goff in this game, as well as we'll see much more of T.J. Hockenson in this contest. So the Eagles and Lions at the in the Motor City in downtown Detroit at Ford Field. Lions looking to get their first victory of the year over the Eagles. Next, my most important game for Week 8 is going to be the New England Patriots against the Los Angeles Chargers. The Patriots destroyed the New York Jets in last week's game. Meanwhile, the Chargers had a bye week last week, so the Chargers had an opportunity to heal up and to get rested and to come off of that loss that they had in Week 6 against the Baltimore Ravens. So Justin Herbert had a lot of time to think about the loss from Week 6. We know he's going to be reloaded and locked and loaded and ready to go for this game against the New England Patriots. We've got two great young quarterbacks with Justin Herbert going up against Mac Jones from the New England Patriots. And the Patriots, again, defensively, they've stepped it up as of late. They stepped it up big time against the New York Jets. So let's see if this defense can hold down the Charger pass offense, because we know the Chargers, they love to pass the ball. They got Austin Eckler, they've got Keenan Allen, they've got Mike Williams, you know, they've got Jared Cook. So certainly the Chargers can hold their own on the defensive side, and we'll just see what's going to happen with this game. Patriots and Chargers going to be a good one out in Inglewood, California at SoFi Stadium. My next game is going to be a most important game is an NFC South showdown between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints. The Saints won a big one on Monday night beating the Seattle Seahawks. Meanwhile, for the Buccaneers, history was made with Tom Brady becoming the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for 600 career touchdown passes. So the Buccaneers return to New Orleans for their first game against the Saints this year. We all know what happened in week one of last year with the Saints beating the Bucs. However, Drew Brees was the quarterback last year. There's no Drew Brees this year. It's Jameis Winston. So we'll see how Jameis will operate against a Tampa Bay defense that has been beat up this year, especially in the secondary department. And we'll see how the Bucs offense will operate against a Saint defense that has played pretty well this year. You know, but we know about Tampa's offense. Of course, besides TB12, there's Leonard Fournette. There's Chris Godwin, there's Mike Evans, of course, there's Cameron Brate, there's O.J. Howard, Ronald Jones, and the list goes on and on and on. So Tampa Bay and New Orleans, the NFC South showdown, this could possibly determine who will win the division or maybe be a step closer to taking the NFC. We'll have to find out on that, but Bucs and Saints going to be a great game. The Sunday night matchup will be between the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings. Both teams had a bye week. Dallas was riding a high back in week six. They went on to beat the New England Patriots in overtime. However, Dak Prescott suffered an injury to his calf. We'll see how this plays out because he's going to have his wheels. He's going to have his wheels in place going up against a team like the Minnesota Vikings, known for their defense as well. Again, Minnesota, like the Cowboys, they had a bye week last week. However, in week six, they went on to beat the Carolina Panthers in overtime in a tough game. So Dallas and Minnesota, Cowboys and Vikings, going to be a great game in Minneapolis, one of the best places, best crowds in the NFL. And certainly you've got Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott. You've got Ezekiel Elliott and Dalvin Cook, both teams with solid defenses. We know Minnesota's is their bread and butter is defense, followed by running the ball. And on top of that, you also have certain situations where you have, you know, both teams are known for running the ball. Both teams have effective defenses. So Dallas and Minnesota is going to be a great game. We know the history of that rivalry. So Sunday night is going to be a lot of people are going to be watching this one with Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins. The list goes on and on. Cowboys and Vikings on Sunday night. And Monday Night Football, the New York Giants versus the Kansas City Chiefs. I would have never imagined the Chiefs being 3-4 this year. You know, the Chiefs were a Super Bowl pick this year. I don't know. A lot of people may be holding back from that just a bit. But the Giants and the Chiefs are on Monday night. They're playing at Arrowhead. The Chiefs were embarrassed by the Titans. Patrick Mahomes got hurt in the contest, did not return. He passed the concussion protocol, so he should be ready to go for Monday night. Meanwhile, the Giants, wound up winning big last week, beating the Carolina Panthers. We'll see what Daniel Jones will be able to do against this Kansas City defense that has not been good all year long. And we'll see what Saquon Barkley is going to do in this contest, if he's going to be able to play in this one. You know, Daniel Jones has an opportunity to make sure he can do what needs to be done in this game. He's got Darius Slayton. He's got Evan Ingram. I mean, the weapons are going to be on display against this Chiefs defense. I think this is actually going to be a shootout between both of the quarterbacks, with Daniel and Patrick. It's going to be a pretty good game between the Giants and the Chiefs on Monday night. All right, now it's time for my game of the week. And my game of the week is going to be the NFC South showdown between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints. Let's go back to the 2020 NFL season, week one in New Orleans, Tampa Bay and the Saints. Differences here: Tom Brady, first game as the quarterback for the Buccaneers. Drew Brees, most likely entering his last season with the Saints. They had a game, and it was never close. From start to finish, the Saints just dominated on both sides of the ball. Drew did what he had to do to get the job done, to get the victory for his team, and Tom was just looking for clues. Offensive line just wasn't into it. Nobody was into it. I mean, they just never got into a groove. They just never, the Bucs just never got into it. They tried, and they would lose. New Orleans would win that game 34-23. Drew Brees threw two touchdown passes in that game, and Tom Brady threw two touchdown passes, but will also throw two interceptions. So let's fast forward now to week of November the 8th, and let's go now to week 9. Bucs and Saints in Tampa. This one was not even close. This was Antonio Brown's first game with the Buccaneers on Sunday night. It didn't make much of a difference because Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints embarrassed the Bucs in front of a worldwide television audience. The Saints would win 38-3. Drew Brees threw four touchdown passes in this contest. Now let's move ahead now to Bucs and Saints. They meet once again. This time they meet in the divisional playoff game. You talk about what a difference two games could make. The regular season of 2020, the Saints owned the Bucs. But when we got to the divisional playoff, it was a completely different story. The Buccaneers had the Saints, beat them at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. The Bucs would win 30-20. In this game, Drew Brees would throw three interceptions, and that would be his last game as a New Orleans Saint quarterback in his last game in the National Football League. Meanwhile, Tom Brady threw two touchdown passes in this game, and also Leonard Fournette would catch a touchdown pass in this contest. So now here we are in the 2021 NFL season. Tom Brady is still the quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're the defending Super Bowl champions, and they're marching into New Orleans to take on the New Orleans Saints. But Drew Brees is retired. This is a Jameis Winston New Orleans Saints. Also, there's Alvin Kamara. And also, what's going to be interesting, because there's the recent addition of Mark Ingram. Yeah, the Houston Texans pulled off a trade, trading Ingram to the Saints, back to the Saints. And in return, the Texans will get draft picks. So this is going to be an interesting scenario. TB12 is comfortable in Tampa. He's got his team with him. This is a much different team from last year. Last year, they were trying to figure out everything and trying to be consistent, and they got hot at the right time, making that playoff run and winning the Super Bowl. For the Saints, no Drew Brees. They have Jameis Winston as the quarterback, but they still use a lot of Taysom Hill. And Alvin Kamara has been a workhorse for the first 8 weeks of the season. But with Mark Ingram coming back to the fold, this could cause problems for a Bucs defense that's been hurt this year and hasn't been good, hasn't been great, but it's been decent. So we've got Tom Brady, we got Leonard Fournette. Fournette returning home to New Orleans for the first time since last season, as in terms of football wise, as a Buc. And you know, there's Ronald Jones, there's Antonio Brown. I think Rob Gronkowski is expected to play in this game. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, a lot of stars. That Tampa offense going up against that Saint defense, who's been pretty solid as of late. Marshawn Lattimore, also C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You got Cam Jordan. You got Marcus Davenport. I mean, there's so many stars on both sides of the ball. New Orleans, the Saints offense, Alvin Kamara, it's been the workhorse for the Saints this year. And also, we can't forget about Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram could be the X factor in this game. People have been talking about Marquez Callaway and also talking about Tre'Quan Smith, but I wonder what Mark Ingram is going to bring to the table in this game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the New Orleans Saints, my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, I'm going to give my winners on who I think will win Week 8's most important games. Starting off with Thursday night football, I like the Green Bay Packers to beat the Arizona Cardinals. I like the Tennessee Titans to beat the Indianapolis Colts. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers to beat the Cleveland Browns. I like the Detroit Lions to win their first game of the year. I like Detroit beating Philadelphia. I like the Los Angeles Chargers to beat the New England Patriots. My game of the week, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going up against the New Orleans Saints, going to be a close one, but I like Tampa Bay to beat the Saints in a close one. Sunday night football, the Dallas Cowboys against the Minnesota Vikings. I like Minnesota beating Dallas. And on Monday night, the Kansas City Chiefs will bounce back as they'll beat the New York Giants. So my picks are Green Bay, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Los Angeles Chargers, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, and Kansas City. So there you go. Those are my picks for Week 8's most important games in the NFL. All right, a big special thank you once again to Sonia Greenfield, the Director of Writer Management and an editor covering the NFC North and NFC East for Our Turf Football. She was great, giving us the insights on the Detroit Lions, also what's going on with their quarterback and the head coach, and some of the things that are popping with Lions fans in the city of Detroit. Thank you again to Sonia. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. I'm Ed Robinson, and until next week, so long, everyone.